We're continuing Chapter 4 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And if you remember, Dumbledore was in Harry's house picking him up. "I hope you will forgive me for mentioning it, Harry," Dumbledore said, "but I am pleased and a little proud at how well you seem to be coping with after everything that happened to the Ministry. Permit me to say that I think Sirius would have been proud of you." Harry swallowed. His voice seemed to have deserted him. He did not think he could stand to discuss Sirius. It had been painful enough to hear Uncle Vernon... Oh, sorry, they're not in Harry's house anymore. They just left, what's
they're
his
name? At the Burrow.
Oh yeah, they're at the Burrow. They did make it to the Burrow. That's right. Thank you, Boo. It had been painful enough to hear Uncle Vernon say his godfather's dead, and even worse to hear Sirius's name thrown out casually by Slughorn. "It was cruel," said Dumbledore softly, "that you and Sirius had such a short time together. A brutal ending to what should have been a long and happy relationship." Harry nodded, his eyes fixed resolutely on the spider now climbing Dumbledore's head. He could tell that Dumbledore understood that he might even suspect that until his letter arrived, Harry had spent nearly all of his time at the Dursleys lying on the bed, refusing meals, and staring at the misted window, full of the chill emptiness that he had come to associate with Dementors. "It's just hard," Harry said finally, in a low voice, "to realize he won't write to me again." His eyes burned suddenly, and he blinked. He felt stupid for admitting it, but the fact that he had someone outside Hogwarts who cared what happened to him, almost like a parent, had been one of the best things about discovering his godfather. And now the post-owls would never bring him that comfort again. "Sirius represented much to you that you had never known before," said Dumbledore gently. "Naturally, the loss is devastating." "But while I was at the Dursleys," interrupted Harry, his voice growing stronger, "I realized I can't shut myself away, or crack up. Sirius wouldn't have wanted that, would he? And anyways, life's too short. Look at Madame Bones. Look at Emmeline Vance. It could be me next, couldn't it?" "But if it is," he said fiercely, now looking straight into Dumbledore's blue eyes, gleaming in the wand light, "I will make sure I take as many Death Eaters with me as I can, and Voldemort too if I can manage it." "Spoken like your mother and father's son, and Sirius's true godson," said Dumbledore, with an approving pat on Harry's back. "I would take my hat off to you, or I would if I were not afraid of showering you in spiders. And now, Harry, on a closely related subject, I gather you've been taking the Daily Prophet over the last 2 weeks." "Yes," said Harry, and his heart beat a little faster. "Then you will have seen that there have not been so much leaks as floods concerning your adventure in the Hall of Prophecy." "Yes," said Harry again, "and now everyone knows that I'm the one." "No, they do not," interrupted Dumbledore. "There are only two people in the whole world who know the full contents of the prophecy about you and Lord Voldemort, and they are both standing in the smelly, spidery broom shed. It is true, however, that many have guessed correctly, that Dumbledore sent his Death Eaters to steal prophecy, and that the prophecy concerned you. Now, I think I am correct in saying that you have not told anybody that you know what the prophecy said." "No," said Harry. "A wise decision on the whole," said Dumbledore, "although I think you ought to relax it in favor of your friends, Mr. Ronald Weasley and Miss Hermione Granger." "Yes," he continued, when Harry looked startled, "I think they ought to know. You do them a disservice by not confiding something this important to them." "I didn't want to worry or frighten them," said Dumbledore, surveying Harry over the top of his half-moon spectacles, "or perhaps to confess that you yourself are worried and frightened. You need your friends, Harry. As you so rightly said, Sirius would not have wanted you to shut yourself away." Harry said nothing, but Dumbledore did not seem to require an answer. He continued, "On a different, though related subject, it is my wish that you take private lessons with me this year." "Private with you?" said Harry, surprised out of his preoccupied silence. "Yes, I think it is time I took a greater hand in your education." Will you be teaching me, sir?" "Oh, a little of this, a little of that," said Dumbledore airily. Harry waited hopefully, but Dumbledore did not elaborate, so he asked something else that had been bothering him slightly. if I'm having lessons with you. I won't have to do occlumency lessons with Snape, will I? Professor Snape, Harry, and no, you will not. Good, said Harry in relief, because they were a... He stopped, careful not to say what he really thought. I think the word fiasco would be a good one here, said Dumbledore, nodding. Harry laughed. Well, that means I won't see much of Professor Snape from now on, he said, because he won't let me carry on potions unless I get outstanding in my owl, which I know I haven't. Don't count your owls before they are delivered, said Dumbledore gravely, which, now I think of it, ought to be sometime later today. Now, two more things, Harry, before we part. Firstly, I wish you to keep your invisibility cloak with you at all times from this moment onward, even within Hogwarts itself. Just in case, you understand me. Harry nodded. And lastly, while you stay here, the Burrow has been given the highest security the Ministry of Magic can provide. These measures have caused a certain amount of inconvenience to Arthur and Molly. All their post, for instance, is being searched at the Ministry before being sent on. They do not mind in the slightest, for their only concern is your safety. However, it would be poor repayment if you risked your neck while staying with them. I understand, Harry said quickly. Well then, said Dumbledore, pushing open the broom shed door and stepping out into the yard, I see a light in the kitchen. Let us not deprive Molly any longer of the chance to deplore how thin you are. And that's the end of chapter 4. And next we'll read chapter 5, called An Excess of Phlegm. And I hope you like that, my baby kitten. You're the sweetest kitten in the world, and I love you so much. Sleep well, beautiful.